I just am blessed to see each one of you. Lots of new faces, and that's always exciting. And I just pray that the Lord is going to bless this time in a special way. I believe He is. I want to give you a little introduction to what's going to be happening here, just so that you do know. As you could see when you came in, you probably noticed that once again, if you were here last year, you know, that once again we're going to have the small groups, only we've enlarged them a little bit. What we're doing is we're having fewer groups, but larger groups. Because what happened last year is that if a few gals couldn't make it, sometimes the leader would be sitting there with one other person, and, you know, that can be a little awkward, although there were times that that happened that people said later, you know, that must have been God ordained because I needed that one-on-one time. And so we know that that happens too. But the thing that I love about the groups is the fact that it gives women an opportunity to see each other a little closer up. You know, as Athey gets bigger and bigger, that's one of the things that people say is, I just don't feel like I know anyone. And so what the small groups allow is for that very opportunity to get to know, because every single week you'll be in the same group, to get to know the people who are in your group and to be able to pray for each other, to know you're being prayed for. Is there anything I need to do? Yeah, I know. That's what I was a little concerned about, but it's going to be there. But sorry about this. But so that is just a blessing every single week to know that you have that opportunity. So last year, if you were here, you know that we had a time where a question would be asked and there'd be a little conversation going on. But this year, we're going to kind of streamline it so that there is more time for prayer. And I am going to try very hard to finish on time so that I don't eat into the time you have with your groups. But in order to do that, I have to ask you, and I want to commend you, because many of you are here right on time this morning. But we will try to start much closer to 9:30. Last year, we kept starting a little later and a little later because the women kept coming a little later and a little later. And I just don't want us to do that. So I appreciate you making the effort to get here on time. I know some of you have quite a long drive, and but would appreciate that very, very much. One of the things about the opportunities to pray is that you get to pray for others, others get to pray for you. But I know that even for some of you new gals, that some of you are sitting here thinking, I'm going to exit because you're not comfortable praying out loud. And please know there is no problem in just saying to your leader, you know what, I'm one of those people that Judy talked about. I pray, but I do not like to pray out loud. Don't be embarrassed to say that. It's totally okay. You will still be given a card, and the leader's going to explain all of the logistics to you, but you'll still be given a card. You'll still be able to have your prayer requests known. You'll still be able to pray when you go home for the people in your group and maybe for the specific person who is sitting beside you. So don't let that intimidate you in any way, but know that that is just a real special time. And that was the thing I heard over and over again last year, is that the women were so blessed to be able to pray for each other. Now, the thing that I do want to say, when women are together and somebody shares their prayer request and maybe there's something really hard going on, they all tend to want to come in and counsel. And this is not a time for counseling. So you might have an encouraging word, meaning from the word. You might have a scripture that you might just say, you know, let me just read this, and you could share your scripture. Or you might look for that person after the class is over and say, you know, I want to tell you, I've been where you are, and I'm going to be praying for you. You might then want to just share with them, and And again, all of that is wonderful. I mean, it's desirable. That's the kind of thing we're wanting to happen. But we have to put some structure on the time that you're actually in the group, because the time flies just like that. And that brings me to the other point. Those of you who have children that are in the childcare, you need to be done at 11 o'clock. That's why we have Courtney put on a song at 5 till, so you'll know that you have 5 minutes and then you need to go out and get your kids. That is because, the people who are taking care of your kids have a life. And some of them have commitments where they need to be out of here at a certain time. And they cannot be lingering, waiting, hoping you're going to come for your kids, and you're just indulging yourself, visiting with your other, sisters. You can go get your kids, then come back, and if you want to visit then, do so. But it really is important to the child care workers that you be punctual and you go there right at 11 o'clock and get your kids. We also have a room for the homeschool kids, and we tried that last spring, and it worked out really well. The one thing we ask is that if this is new to some of you, the kids are supposed to come with something prepared for them to work on or a book to read. But the thing we ask is no games, please, because this is a quiet room. The kids are expected to be working. We have a gal who sits there and absolutely loves making sure everything is the way it's supposed to be. And that's the only thing she told me, is just to make sure that the kids come prepared with work prepared for them to do and no games. And then the thing for the child care in general, whether it's the homeschool or any of the kids, is if your kids are sick, please don't bring them. Because that's something I hear all the time is, well, when I bring my kids, invariably they're sick in a couple of days and they pick something up. And so would ask you to please keep them home when they're not doing well. As much as we want to have you here, that is something important. The other thing is, last spring, those of you who are here, we had a class for parenting preteens, and we had a panel of women, and sometimes it'd be three women, sometimes it'd be four women, who would come up here and share, and that was a wonderful time. And we're going to incorporate that in this year's study. And the way it's going to be done is that I will share, and then the next week, the panel will share. And what the panel is going to be sharing is from what I shared the week before, only they're going to narrow the focus to how that looks in the home. And this is, not just geared for how it looks as a parent. It's geared for how it looks in the home. And so I would encourage all of you to come on those weeks as well. Don't think, well, that just doesn't pertain to me. You might be a single woman. You might be living all alone. And you think, oh, that I'm fine. No, we need to have here. So come each week, because I know it will be a blessing. And the gals who serve on the panel are just wonderful. You know them all. It's Paula and Tawny and Elisa and Judy and Debbie when she can. And she's a busy woman, and I love it whenever she can jump in as well. Well, let's see. Have I covered all of the basics? I think I got them. So let's pray. Lord, we do come to you, and what a joy it is to meet, Lord, to be gathered together after a busy summer, and to be able to just focus each week on what you would say to us, how you would lead us, what you're wanting to speak into our lives. And that is our prayer, Lord, that truly we would hear from you. And that, Lord, you would find in us responsive hearts, women who say yes. Lord, have your way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord has given me two scriptures that I believe are to be foundational in this study. And the first one is probably one that every single one of you not only know, but already love. And that is from Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. When the Lord first gave that to me as I was praying about what he would have for our study, I can't tell you how much that blessed me, because I've always loved it, even as you probably have too. But there were three words that especially grabbed my heart, and that was, learn from me. And I'm excited about that, because even as you probably know, I have shared this before, it's not like I have all of the teachings all prepared and I know exactly where this study is going to go. I do not. And yet that is part of what blesses me as well, because I get to hear, and the Lord usually is always working in me first, the very things that he is wanting me to share with you. And that always blesses me. So to know that this was his heart, this verse that I knew that not only I loved, but I would guarantee that all of you have loved as well. What a joy that was. But then to have the emphasis, learn from me. I can hardly wait to see the things he is going to be teaching us. And then the second verse he gave me was Ephesians 5, and it's the first two verses. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And as I paused to meditate on that verse, a picture came to my mind, and it was of Jesus standing in a wheat field. And I was just observing him. But as I observed him, the thought that came to my mind was, a life of love. That's what he lived, a life of love. And I'm very excited, because I know that's what he wants us to live as well. You know, we are his children. We are to look like him. Many of you know the Wagner family. There are six kids. Do they look alike? Everybody knows who the Wagner family is. And of course they look alike. They look like their parents, because they're family. And we are his children. And he wants us to look at him, like him. And you know, it's exciting, because we often as Christians think about how we need to witness to people, and we have in our mind there are certain scriptures we should just have on the tip of our tongue, all set to share with every opportunity that presents itself, and we look for those, and then sometimes we can speak like tracts, I always say, and I always think that's such a shame. And what we need to realize is that every single day we're given the opportunity. Whether we're in a grocery store or getting our car fixed or at our workplace or talking to our neighbor, whether we bump into someone when we're getting our mail, Those are all opportunities. We don't have to even speak a scripture. You've probably heard the saying, you know, that for some people, looking at your life will be as close to reading the Bible as they will ever get. And so you want people to look at you and to know that you're His. And that will come the more time you spend with Him, the more you learn from Him. And I really believe that that would be the desire for each one of us, that we would have a life of love. These two verses, as I said, will be foundational. But by that, I don't mean that we're going to be studying them per se. I mean, sometimes we will. This morning, the emphasis is certainly on them. But they're going to be the heart of the teachings this year. And that is what I'm excited to see. You know, I don't know if any of you, when you saw the name of the study this year, might have felt a little disappointed, you know, thinking, life of love. We just went through 1 Corinthians 13 last year. I was kind of hoping it would be something, you know, a little different. And the reason I say that to you is because actually that's what I struggled with initially. I just kind of thought, you know, shouldn't it be something a little different? But as I prayed about it, the Lord brought two things to mind. The first was the scripture, and I'm going to ask you if you have your Bibles to turn there to Mark 12. We're going to start in the, the 28th verse. Jesus was asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." No greater commandment. And last year when we were reading 1 Corinthians 13, how did Paul close that chapter? And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So that kind of settled my heart, and I just kept praying about it. And then another story came to mind, and it's really like a legend, but you've probably all heard it. And it's the story they tell of John the disciple. You know, he's the one who was fond of saying that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. And it's the story about when he was old, and he would go around and speak to different gatherings. And it said that he was so old and so frail that he had to be helped as he walked forward to address the group. And as he did, those gathered would be waiting with bated breath to hear what this man was going to say. This was John, the disciple. He had known Jesus. He had walked and lived with Jesus. What would he say? And he would look out to the crowd, and he would say, "Little children, love one another." And that was it. And I love that story. And I love that the Lord brought that back to my mind, because that point settled it for me, and I felt totally great about a life of love being, in fact, what the Lord had for us. this year. It blesses me when I look out and see all the different ages that are gathered here this morning. I see those with white hair like me, and I see gals who are young, who are single. Some are newly married, just starting out. Others of you have a nest full of kids. Some of you have empty nests. Some of you are single. Some of you might be pursuing a career. Some of you might be retired. And that always makes me laugh now because of my age, I talk to retired people a lot. And the thing that I hear over and over again is, what is this about? We always thought that retirement was going to be one long vacation. And instead, we're busier than ever. The truth is, it doesn't seem to matter where we are in life, whether we live alone or we have a houseful. We have a way of getting ourselves so overly committed that we are running from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, and we cannot believe it. And we lecture ourselves, at least I know I do, and we tell ourselves, hey, this is crazy. Something has got to go. Anything, but something has got to go. And how many mornings when you wake up and you're still so tired you can hardly stand it, do you vow, okay, I have got to start going to bed earlier nights? You know, do you? You know, I mean, it seems to be the way life is. And yet all the time, Jesus is there. And he is bidding us to come to him and to find rest. And I think it's one of those verses that is so wonderful that it pulls our hearts. But then we have verses like Ephesians 5:16, where it says that we're to make the most of every opportunity, redeeming the time. You know, we have these things going on in our head. And yes, we are to redeem the time. We are to make the most of every opportunity. But that doesn't mean that we have to be women who are driven, women who are just overwhelmed a good part of each day. I cannot believe that is the way the Lord wants us to live. So the irony, of course, is that as irresistible as that invitation from the Lord sounds, many of us hear it, we're initially pulled, drawn to it, but then what do? We go our way and we're just as harried as we were before we heard it. And I don't think it's like this thing where we don't want to respond to it. I believe we do want to respond to it. But we were so busy, we're going so fast, we're trying to accomplish so much that we hear it and we think, yes, I want to respond to that. And I really will, but I mean, there's no way I can today. I just have to do the things that are on the schedule for today. And when I was thinking about that, I thought, makes me think of the story we've recently read in Exodus with Pharaoh, you know? Remember the plague of frogs, and Moses asked him, when do you want me to remove the frogs? What did he say? I mean, here their frogs were everywhere. And what does Pharaoh say? Tomorrow. And I think that's the game the enemy loves to play in our head. We know we should do something. We even want to do it. But we just don't see how it's even possible today. So we tell ourselves, tomorrow. And I am praying that we are going to really allow the Lord to speak to us and to work the scripture into our lives in such a way that we and our family, our loved ones, our friends will be able to see the change in us. I know that that is something he desires to do. Jesus said, learn from me. And how we need to learn from him, to let him be our teacher. He won't just guide us into the truth. He is the truth. It says in John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. And as we take his yoke upon us and learn from him, he is going to lead us perfectly. You know, probably only a few of us have actually seen animals yoked together. Some of you farm girls, I'm sure, have, but a lot of us haven't. And so it can be kind of vague to us. In the olden times, maybe still do in some places, when they would put two oxen together, they would be yoked in such a way that the farmer could use them, and they would pull lots, do lots of work, but they had to work together. And in that picture, there would be one lead ox, and then the other ox was called the off ox. The lead ox was the one who absolutely could be counted on to respond to his master's bidding, whether it was to turn to the left, turn to the right, to go forward, to stop. All the master had to do was signal or say a word, and the lead ox would obey. The off ox, all the off ox had to do was to follow the lead ox. That was his job. And as long as the two were working together in harmony, it was a great thing. Much was accomplished. But if that off ox decided it didn't like the direction and decided it wanted to go in its own way, it would experience chafing from that yoke, irritation, and in fact it could even stumble, and if it stumbled and fell and pulled, there could be real injury to either or both of the oxen. So it was only when that off ox would follow the leading of the lead ox that things would go well. For the yoke to work effectively, there had to be complete submission of that off ox to the lead ox. The off ox had to be yielded to the lead ox. Now, I'm sure you've already known, you know, where I'm going in this picture. But in this illustration, which ox are you? Which ox am I? I am sure you would all have to confess that all too many times you've been that off ox who is trying to go its own way, thinks, you know, you have a better idea, a better leading of your own. Have you experienced the chafing? Have you experienced perhaps even injury? And the thing that I do want to say to you is that doesn't necessarily mean that you were being a bad ox. You know, you were just learning about the yoke. You were just learning, oh, when I go my own way, it doesn't feel so good. When I go my own way, I can even really cause a big mess. I can cause all sorts of injury. So you were learning about the yoke. The Lord wants us to be yoked to him. But if we're yoked with him, he must be the one who's doing the leading, We must be totally surrendered to Him, yielding ourselves to that leading, trusting Him to lead us perfectly. My yoke is easy, He said. Easy. Anytime we are having trouble, anytime we're feeling that chafing, we can know that it's not from the one who is leading us. It's from our own inclination to want to go our own way. We need to yield ourselves to the Lord, to surrender to Him and to His leading. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, I know, O Lord, that a man's life is not his own. It is not for a man to direct his own steps. And then in Psalm 32:8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I know that's a verse, again, that probably many of you know and love. Turn to Philippians 2. And I love this. You know, on Sunday this past weekend, what was Brett teaching on but the Sabbath? And I just loved that. I thought, oh, Lord, how great that is. What a perfect, you know, introduction for our study. The importance of taking the Sabbath and having that Sabbath rest. And then last night, he shared from Philippians 2. Not the same verses we're going to look at, but it was just fun to see him do that too. Verse 1, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Being one in spirit and purpose. See, that is what will happen if we are yoked to the Lord and we're yielded to Him. We will be one in spirit and in purpose with what He wants for our lives. I love that we can count on that. Jesus invites us to come to Him. You know, how can we resist that invitation? This morning, as I was literally, my things were in the car, I had gone back to my office just to make sure kind of that I'd shut the light out. And this was on my desk, and it's a book that Judy quotes from often on Facebook. But I saw it, and I went to close the door, and I opened it again. I thought, funny that I never looked to see if he had anything on this verse. And so I turned to it and I thought, oh, Lord, I love you so much. You give me the perfect thing to share with the women to close with. And again, the title of it is, I Will Give You Rest. You that are weary with the rounds of worldly pleasure, stuffed and nauseated with vain glories and delusions of life, come and find true joy. You that are worn with ambition, corroded with disappointment, or embittered by the faithlessness of those you trusted, come and confide in Jesus. He will be your rest. Weary, weary, weary ones, here is the rest. Here is the refreshment. Jesus expressly puts it, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If your back is breaking, if your eyes are failing through weary watching and waiting, come to the Savior just as you are. He will be your rest. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much because I know, Lord, that you are going to teach us about coming to you, about learning from you, being yoked with you. That, Lord, even as we are your children and you want us to look like you, Lord, I believe that more and more we will reflect you in our lives. And what a joy that will be to all of us. Lord, have your way with us. I thank you that your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. And my prayer for each one of us, Lord, is that when we find ourselves breathless, when we find ourselves feeling burdened, we would just pause. We would look to you. We would remind ourselves that you're there, that you know, and that you love us. Have your way in our lives. And Lord, now as we go to the groups, I pray that you're going to put the women in just the circles you want them to be in. And that the women, Lord, would find that these are women that will be praying for them and they will be praying for. And in that, Lord, I believe you're going to knit our hearts together. Thank you for that. Thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.